I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
The storms may rage and the billows roll.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
No earthly storm e'er can move my soul.
I'm on the everlasting rock. Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Liberty. It's a powerful word, but what does it really mean? What does genuine liberty look like? Hello, friend, and welcome to this edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm your host, J. Mark Horst, and I'm glad you've joined me. Our program today will focus on the subject of liberty. We'll discover that there's a genuine liberty that's outlined for us in the Scriptures. But then there's also a false liberty, or maybe I should say a false sense of liberty, that's offered by many today. I'm so thankful God has given us a way to discern between the real and the counterfeit. So let's lift our hearts in praise to God as the men sing.
Praise, O praise Jehovah, earth and sea and skies. Softly let the echo of our praises rise. Sweetest praises sing,
sweetest praises
sing to our heavenly King.
To our heavenly
sweetest praises sing to our heavenly King.
It is good to praise Thee, Lord of earth and heaven. Thou for us hast suffered, Thou Thy life hast given. Only good art Thou,
Lord.
Gladly here we bow. Only good art Thou, gladly here we bow.
Thee, O Christ, we honor, 'tis of Thee we sing. Louder still and louder shall Thy praises ring. Holy Heavenly Lord, be by all adored. Holy Heavenly Lord, be by all adored.
Thank you, men. I know that there are prisoners who are listening to this broadcast. I know that because they write letters or send emails or make phone calls to our office. These men and women have been deprived of their freedom of movement because they've broken the law. They're incarcerated and their lives are controlled by the authorities who manage the prisons where they live. And yet some of them are free. That is, they know what it is to be free in Christ. While they're suffering the consequences of their past sins, they rejoice in their acceptance with God through the sacrifice of Jesus. They've learned the meaning of genuine liberty, of true freedom, and for that we praise God. Now let's pause to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your amazing grace offered to us through Jesus Christ. And we thank You for those prisoners who are listening today, who have found genuine freedom despite their imprisonment. I pray your special blessing on the radio broadcasts as they go into prisons today. I pray that you will direct seekers to those broadcasts and that many might find true freedom and liberty in Jesus Christ. And now, Father, as Dr. Yoder comes to speak to us about false liberty, I pray you will open our hearts to receive this vital truth. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the United States' early history, probably no words are more famous than those of Patrick Henry in his fiery speech at the Second Virginia Convention on March the 23rd, 1775. His words were, I quote, "I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." They were the words which ignited the American colonial revolution. To Patrick Henry, death was preferable to the continued bondage to the British king. There are more famous words made by the King of Kings while teaching in the temple in Jerusalem. Here are his words. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." That's John 8:31-36. The liberty Jesus spoke of is not won or lost on the battlefield. Rather, it is received by accepting the truth which the Son speaks. Truth liberates the spirit. The ever-abiding Son has the truth by which he grants freedom, yes, true liberty. Many a person has been free in spirit while being confined in body. In the Soviet Union, many of those Christians in the concentration camps, the labor camps, were free in spirit while they were confined in body. Many others have been bound in spirit while free in body. We need not consider these options, that is, that are mutually exclusive. One can be free in spirit and body, and one can be bound in spirit and body. We have certain confinements due to our mortal human existence. Bodily, we can be in only one place at a time. And yet, in mind, we can roam the world by memory or by study. The area of liberty which is most intriguing is that of the mind and spirit. This was the area to which the serpent in Eden made his successful appeal to Eve and she to Adam. We should understand that the area outlined and established by God Almighty is not confining in the sense of being detrimental. So when he told the early pair that they had the right of the garden with the exception of the one tree, it was not confining in the sense of being detrimental. Quite the opposite. What God has allowed or prohibited defines the highest level of liberty for us. Yet all around us are advocators of a so-called liberty which would throw off all restraint. Do anything you wish to do, as long as no one gets hurt and it feels good. The sad fact is, such an open attitude of disregard leads to a bondage worse than fetters of iron or the old-fashioned stock. What is even more dreadful is that such an attitude and its accompanying actions lead to endless torment in hell. It is appalling to me that so many have been led to believe in false liberty widely promoted today. Unsuspecting victims have been led to believe that liberty is to be found in the liberation movements of our day. To this we must give attention, for it presses upon us from all sides. Now turn in your Bible to 2 Peter, the second chapter, and verses 17 to 22. I have a message for you entitled False Liberty. That's 2 Peter, the second chapter, verses 17 through 22, for my message, False Liberty. Here is the Word of God. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. My friend, by examining Peter's counsel, we should emphasize several compelling words of warning. The first word is fascination. Please stay with me right here by the Holy Bible, and let us examine what Peter spoke of. He made certain comparisons. He said they are wells without water. When one realizes the condition of the Middle East at the time of the Apostle Peter, it becomes very graphic, because traveling through the desert land, there were wet weather wells. And as the traveler approached the well on a dusty, hot trip, he would hope surely to find water, only to find the well empty. Or they are compared to rainless clouds, tossed about, carried with the tempest. The picture is of a parched earth thirsting for water, but the clouds give no water. They may appear on the horizon to be moisture-laden, only to be blown apart by the wind. To them has been reserved the mist of darkness forever. They are headed for such a mist of darkness. And then Peter went on to explain something of their oratory, their ability to speak. They speak with great words of vanity, words that are empty, words that sound good, but have no real content. Silver-tongued orators who can capture the mind of unsuspecting people with their great swelling words. They make basic appeals. They allure through the lust of the flesh, Peter tells us. We hear so much about that today, don't we? How to have safe sex, lust of the flesh, swelling words, and through much wantonness. That means every variety of lasciviousness. The lascivious arts to beguile the unsuspecting by religious pretense. Oh, yes. Yes, I hear that. I hear some of these sex deviants saying that God made me this way. Unsuspecting religious pretense. They legitimize what God condemns. So the first word is fascination. They live in error while they fascinate the unwary. Take warning about this, friend. The second word is falsification. These lecturers promise liberty. They're like the spider and the fly. Maybe you remember that poem. Walk into my parlor, said the spider to the fly. Yes. But when the fly walked into the parlor, he was caught in the web, and the spider proceeded to have a meal on the fly. Promise them liberty, but they are the servants of corruption. I quote another, quote, These passions and appetites have obtained the entire mastery over them and brought them into severest bondage. End of quotation. Those who are in the severest bondage are preaching liberty, while they themselves are servants of corruption. Peter made a very careful and clear analysis, for he said, "Of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage." They are overcome. They are consumed by addictions. Addictions are acquired, my friend, and therefore they can be broken. Let no one tell you, let no one tell me, that addictions are binding and never able to be broken. They are able to be broken. And they are in a worsening condition, because Peter said, "If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in it and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than in the beginning." Now, friend, it is important for us to understand that here is a situation which Peter laid down as a real possibility. They are in a worsening condition. Let me tell you, reversion after reconciliation is an abominable condition. So let Peter's words soak in. The end is worse because they falsify the truth. The third word is finalization. Here are some awesome facts. Peter tells us it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after having known it to turn from the holy commandment. To know is to do. You see, there are two very positive and awesome facts. We are responsible to do what we know, but we are also responsible to know what to do. I remember well, years ago, when doing some evangelistic work in the Ozarks in Arkansas, I was talking to a man who prided himself in the fact that he had read the Bible a number of times, and prided himself in the fact that he argued with preachers whenever they came. After a while, I got tired of it, and I simply stood up and said, "I'm ready to go, Pastor." And I said to him, "Sir, if you want to go to hell, go right ahead." In other words, he knew, but he would not do. To turn away is self-judging. It makes a person susceptible, vulnerable, to the judgment of God. I want to point out to you that this is not superficial knowledge. This is experiential knowledge. This is full knowledge. My Greek New Testament makes that very clear. This is full knowledge, and turning away from full knowledge and going back to the old way makes it very severe and serious. It would have been better had they never known than to have known and turned away. Then Peter used two proverbs to illustrate this fact. The dog has turned to his own vomit again. He's gone back to his old way. The sow that was washed has gone back to wallowing in the mire. Now, we can say all we want to about the dog nature and the sow nature, but the illustrations are clear. Commentaries try desperately to avoid the obvious implications. One can have an experience with the Lord and repudiate it and lose what he had. Now, friend, God never removes moral responsibility. You had moral responsibility, you have it now. You will have it until death takes you out. Therefore, we must daily look to the final end and diligently attempt by the grace of God to walk in the truth which He has given us. We must never be presumptive on the mercy of God. So we must take seriously the warning words Peter describes. My friend, do not become fascinated by the great swelling words of those empty wells and windbags. Do not listen to the false promises of liberty from those in the bondage of corruption. Do not follow them to their final state, where their end is worse than their beginning. There is true liberty in Jesus. Amen. He came to set us free. Now let us pray. Almighty God, I come to acknowledge that Thou art the sovereign Lord, understanding all and every heart everywhere. And so I pray, Lord, as we have been before Thee for these few minutes, talking and thinking about the words of Peter, I pray that the truth of this scripture may grip our hearts as never before, and help us, I pray, to be diligent in walking before the Lord in truth and simplicity. I pray Thee, keep us from these smooth-tongued auditors who would beguile the unsuspecting, and help us to walk, I pray Thee, O Lord, in simple faith and loving obedience before Thee. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Sharon Singers. My friend, I know that's your prayer if you've experienced genuine liberty through a relationship with Jesus Christ. But if you're listening to me right now and you don't know what I'm talking about, I have good news for you. You can find forgiveness of your sins and genuine freedom in Christ today. Now, if you write to me, I'll be happy to send a copy of this message to you. And when I do, I'll send all the other messages from this series from Peter's Epistles. All 30 messages in the series are available in a paperback book titled Sojourners in Faith. and you can receive a copy just by asking for it. That title again is Sojourners in Faith. If you'd like a copy of this book, just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to us at The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. This teaching is available on an audio CD as well. We invite you to visit our Facebook page to see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. And that's also an easy way for you to send a message to us, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, once again, if you'd like a copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith, just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to us at The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 1-866-960-0292. Or you may log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, to listen to this teaching whenever it's convenient for you. And if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-960-0292. And when you send your gift, ask for your copy of the book, Sojourners in Faith. Now, we do depend upon God's grace and your fervent prayers, along with your generous financial support, to enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. So let us hear from you today. Now, friend, I look forward to being with you next week. Lord willing, we'll continue our study in 2 Peter with the message titled Willful Ignorance. So I hope you can join me. And until we meet again,
stand, who will stand in a sea of sin and live for the truth, grow strong from within. Stand, who will stand when all others run, and stand.
Stand when the dark